Well, there's our school bell, and so we want you to come to this Bible class when you hear that bell. And this is the Warren County Radio Bible School. And get your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 16. We're looking at an old Sunday school lesson about worldwide missions. And we're reading in this Sunday school lesson about how Paul traveled from the east to the west, carrying the gospel, leaving Troas and going into Philippi, and establishing the church in the city of Philippi. And he did this with some women who were gathered there by the riverside. We're going to be studying about the conversion of Lydia and her household in this Sunday school lesson. Now, as you're turning to Acts chapter 16, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. Now, if you will, take your Bible, and we're going to read together Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, where it says, "A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, was one that worshipped God. She heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed to the things which were spoken by Paul. Lydia was from Thyatira, a town in the province of Lydia, and on the border between the region, the province of Lydia, and Mysia over in Asia. This woman may have received her name from that province. Paul and his company had just passed through Mysia. Lydia was about 300 miles from home. She was a seller of purple. Purple was highly prized by the Romans and was worn by the rich and the great. You might remember when Jesus was telling the story of the rich man. He said that he was clothed in purple and fine linen in Luke 16:19. You may also remember that in mocking Jesus, they put on him a crown of thorns and a purple robe. They did this because purple was associated with riches and with royalty. Emperors and kings wore purple. It was a costly dye and was of different hues. It was an important industry of Thyatira. Lydia must have had some means in order to deal in this dye or purple goods. Yet she had to depend upon her own exertions. She was devout, and she worshipped God. She worshipped according to the law of Moses. While she was in Philippi on business, and while her rivals in business were at work on the Sabbath day, she found time to quit business and go to the place of prayer in order to worship God. She did better then, though not a Christian, than many professed Christians do now. It says of Lydia that the Lord opened her heart, whose heart the Lord opened." Now, the Lord opened her heart through the teaching of Paul. He instructed her by removing former errors from her heart. There's nothing mysterious about this. Her heart was not open before Paul taught her. Paul was sent to instruct her, just as Ananias had been sent to him, Peter to Cornelius, and Philip to the eunuch. You know, when we hear the truths of the gospel proclaimed by a godly man, it does open our heart so that we can receive the things which are being taught. And so it did with this wonderful woman, Lydia, while she was down by the riverside to worship, away on business in Philippi. The Lord opened her heart so that she could give heed to the things which were spoken by Paul. By giving heed to those things, the implication here is she would obey these things. She was enlightened as to Jesus and the gospel, and rendered that obedience which all did under the preaching of the apostles. She believed in Christ, repented, and was baptized in His name. If the hearts of people today are open as the Lord opened Lydia's heart, then they will do as she did. And we read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15 that when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. When she was baptized, oh yes, this shows that this was one of the things spoken by Paul. There was the river in which she could be easily baptized. When Philip preached Christ to the Samaritans and to the eunuch, they were at once baptized. When Paul preached the word of God to the jailer in Philippi, he and his house were baptized in the same hour of the night, verses 31 through 34. Here it is in Acts 16, 31 through 34. Let me read that to you. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his immediately. And when he brought them up into his house, he set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God. And so, in this case, which shows that obedience always follows the preaching of Jesus when people obey at all, it also mentions her household. There were doubtless women employed by her in her business. A woman with infants would not likely have been there 300 miles from home on such business. It is not even stated that she was ever married. It says she constrained us, showing that Paul and his company did not accept of her hospitality until they knew it would be no imposition upon her. This, then, was their home while they were in Philippi. Well, that concludes that part of this Sunday school lesson from Acts chapter 16. We now turn to Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 31, and this is right toward the end of the book of Acts, and we see Paul is still preaching. In Acts chapter 28, 30 and 31, we read this, "And he," now that is Paul, "abode 2 whole years in his own hired dwelling, and received all that went in unto him, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, none forbidding him." At Jerusalem, when Paul was arrested, he was bound first with 2 chains between 2 soldiers. We read about that in Acts chapter 21 and verse 33, where it says, "Then the chief captain came near and laid hold on him, and commanded him to be bound with 2 chains, and inquired who he was and what he had done." On the voyage to Rome, it seems from the circumstances mentioned that he was released at times from chains altogether. Then in Rome, he was bound with only 1 chain. Acts chapter 28 and verse 20 says, "For this cause therefore did I entreat you to see and speak with me, for because of the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." Not only was it 1 chain, but he was permitted to abide by himself with the soldier that guarded him, Acts 28 and verse 16. And in his own hired dwelling, instead of being kept in prison. Now, he was a prisoner, but he was able to rent his own dwelling, where, as long as he was there with a Roman soldier and with a chain, then that's where he could be kept. The soldier, as we see in the remark, "I'm bound with this chain," would have been chained to him night and day. The guard was changed according to the universal custom every 3 hours, unless exception was made of the sleeping hours in this particular case. So said the old commentator J.W. McGarvey. In this hired dwelling, Paul was permitted to receive all that went into him, and to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and to teach things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do so with all boldness, with none forbidding him. Here we have Paul both preaching and teaching. And note what was being preached, namely, the kingdom of God. The Acts of Apostles begins by stating that Jesus spoke to the apostles of things concerning the kingdom of God, Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. And the book of Acts closes stating that Paul preached the kingdom of God. Jesus first preached, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," in Matthew 4:17. Then the things concerning the kingdom, saying to the apostles that they would understand all things about it when baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. But Paul preached the kingdom of God as existing in power. In preaching the kingdom of God, Paul must have explained what it is. We read in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit," that it had been stored to the Israel of God. And that's God's church. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16 we read, "As many as shall walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy upon the Israel of God." Paul would have preached that Christ is its king, that the way into it is by spiritual birth, born anew, born of water and of the Spirit. That's what Christ taught to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto them, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born anew. The wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Now that's not saying that being born of the Spirit is like being blown by the wind, but the wind being invisible, so also is the soul of man, and so is the one that is born, indicating that it is a spiritual birth that Jesus is talking about. To believe in or to accept Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ, that he is the seed of Abraham, and who all the families of the earth had been blessed. He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And Paul would have preached that we needed to repent of all sins and be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be born of God and to enter into his kingdom, that Christians are in it now. We know that Christians were in the kingdom in Paul's day. Why, in Galatians 1 in verse 13, Paul wrote, "Ye have heard of my manner of life in times past in the Jews' religion, how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and made a havoc of it." But then in Revelation 1 in verse 9 we read, "I, John, your brother, am partaker with you in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience which are in Christ Jesus, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ." We see what the kingdom of heaven is. It is the church of Christ. And we would also know that Paul would have taught the rule or law of the kingdom. We must be obedient to him, and that Christ will come again and gather all the redeemed into a new heavens and the new earth, and into the eternal kingdom. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, "For thus it shall be richly supplied to you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.